City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, along with Jim Neubauer, Mandan City Administrator, on February 7th. Chilly February 7th.
Chilly February 7th in 2018, so we have to make sure we get the year right
today,
too.
Thank you for that. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's the morning after a Mandan City Commission meeting once again.
Yep.
That's why we're here.
Trying to help go through what happened last night.
Yeah, and you had a few things on your agenda. Thought we'd start out with Ellen Huber, your development director, presented Mandan Growth Fund recommendations.
Right. Two recommendations from the Growth Fund. We've talked before about Mandan residents wanting more choices as far as where to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been hearing rumors, and finally the folks with Culver's came through. And so for those listening and those watching, if you know where the old Bonanza restaurant was, you've known that has been torn down for a few months now. And there will be a new Culver's restaurant breaking ground as soon as the weather cooperates. And
yeah.
Judging by today, that might be a while.
Bonanza was there a long time. I think most people probably know where that is on the very, very east.
Very east end in town as you enter. And last night's action from the city commission was regarding the sales tax rebate that we offer as an incentive for new restaurants to come in town. So Sammy and Harry Wu, along with Paula Grossinger, are bringing Culver's to Mandan, and we're really excited for that project to move forward.
Yeah, it'll be a good addition on that end of Mandan.
Yep.
So they had a 1 cent sales tax exemption that goes in place for the first 5 years for the restaurant.
Two parts of our exemption, or two parts of our sales tax incentives, two parts of our restaurant and retail incentives are, one is a sales tax exemption, or a sales tax rebate. So what we do with that is that there's a 1% sales tax on food, as part of that sales tax, and over a 5-year period, we would rebate that 1% back to the owners as part of an incentive program. Now it's performance based, so you know if the store does really well, the larger that rebate gets.
Sure.
If the store doesn't do as well or has fewer sales, then it's all based on performance of the restaurant.
Right.
And so that was approved on a recommendation from the Growth Fund and also approved by City Commission last night. The other part of that is a interest buy-down. So through our Bank of North Dakota's FlexBase program, they can apply to help on the interest rate buy-down on the loans that they take out. And that is a forgivable loan from the City of Mandan to this project. And like I said, we've got, I think, three projects that have taken advantage of the forgivable loan part on the interest rate buy-down now between Bennigan's, I believe Dickie's Barbecue, and now Culver's.
Yeah.
So that program, the funding for that program now is down to about $1,000 left, and which in essence means that the three restaurants that we were trying to attract and the first come, first serve have taken advantage of that.
And before we get into that, the extension of the restaurant rewards program, which was next up on the agenda. We do have an ability to show a few pictures here of Culver's. I think most people probably are somewhat familiar. There is a Culver's in Fargo. I think that might be the closest one.
I think Fargo, and I understand Rapid City, and I know that's where the folks have been going for training quite a bit.
This kind of gives you an idea of what it looks like, what it's going to look like. They do a nice job on their design work.
Right. There were some questions I think the owners had looked at trying to repurpose the old Bonanza building. But I guess structurally and architecturally, the rock that they put on the exterior of that building would not have held up under the old Bonanza structure.
A lot of stonework.
That's why it was raised. And like I said, it's going to be really nice to have a new addition on that end of town.
New construction, stonework. It's really a fairly attractive building. Nice blue awnings.
Right. Everybody is sad to see Bonanza go. And I know the owners of Bonanza had been trying to sell it to someone else who would continue, but the whole Bonanza franchise, I think, is you know, as some
diminishing
things go,
diminishing the country, the concept just kind of expired.
Right. So this is like I said, we are really excited
to have that. It wasn't a Mandan exclusive situation.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
It was nothing regarding the performance of the business or anything like that.
Right.
It was just a matter of sometimes franchises come and go. And this one, I think, had reached the end of its life. And therefore, we're pretty pleased to have a new franchise in Culver's.
New generation of family dining.
Right.
Nice new building. That's always good to have for the community. So, yeah, be great. And the timeline, again, they'll start this spring sometime and by fall.
Yep.
That's the idea.
The old Bonanza has been raised, and I think that took about 1 or 2 days, which was surprisingly fast. And as soon as the ground thaws and they're able to pour footings, they will get moving on this. And I think they're hoping to be open by later in the summer of 2018. So again, we're looking forward to that.
Everything's a go on that one now. So that led to a discussion, though, about the program itself. This restaurant rewards program was implemented, I believe, March of 2016, and it's been well received and it's been well used. Yep. And one of the funds is down to the matching funds buy down is down to about $1,100.
Yep, $1,100. And again, I think with all incentive programs, they always get reviewed by our growth fund committee. And that's at the direction of our city commission to say, you know, when you're providing incentives, they shouldn't be forever. Mm-hmm. And so we do a pretty good job of taking an annual review, a look at what we're providing. And in this program, there were two parts of it. One, the rebate on the sales tax, and two was the interest rate buy down. And now that the interest rate buy down has basically been used, the recommendation from the growth fund, after considerable discussion on, I think we have 7 new eating establishments coming to town in the last few years since this program started. 4 of them, I think, have yet to be constructed, or they are in the works. Should we continue this program? The Growth Fund's recommendation was, let's continue the 1% rebate through March of 2019. And the other piece of that, the forgivable loan on the interest rate buy down, in essence, will go away. And so, and that kind of goes.
Keeping one part of the restaurant rewards program.
Yep, keeping one part, the other part goes away. Okay. Kind of similar to, you know, we've done storefront improvement programs for quite a while in downtown area, and it was expanded into Memorial Highway. And as of December 31st, the Memorial Highway piece of the storefront improvement program ceased. So that ended. So if people look at us and say, well, your incentive programs go on forever and ever and ever, well, they don't. They do take a look.
And they don't. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Ellen reported that, the program has been successful, but it hasn't been 100% at this point in time, because one of the goals was more family or sit-down dining.
Right.
And that has not, the group felt, has not quite been achieved. Yep. So let's give it a little more time. See if this incentive can stay in place and continue with this part of it. So
I think there's the need for sit down casual. I think Bennigan's fills one of those needs.
Sure.
And the other, whether it's Dickie's or whether it's Tailor Made Barbecue or the Beer Hall or Grand Junction Subs that's coming soon, or Culver's are more of your fast food sit down and get in and out and move along. Whereas the more restaurant type of the Bennigan's, I think,
so
we're
we'll
still
wait,
looking for those.
Wait and see. And I thought Commissioner Rohr had a good point about saturation. At some point, where do you get saturated? And, you know, the history of incentives is typically in this area, we have not seen them used for retail or restaurant. But Mandan kind of pulled that out in the last couple of years, and they've shown that it works. But he brings up a valid point that it, and that's, like you say, that's why the Growth Fund Committee, their direction is to evaluate this on a regular basis. Is it effective, or is it just slicing that pie a little thinner for everybody? So at some point, I would assume they're going to pull it out.
Right. And this would be the start of the third year of that program in March of 2018. And so when we first adopted that program, the growth fund was very clear. Let's reevaluate after a year, see where we are. Do we need to continue or not? Restaurant and retail projects take a long time. It's not you can snap your fingers and here we are.
Right.
Some of these projects, like I said, after the first year, we had a couple that were move into a building, take advantage. The other projects have taken some time to either build or get their financing lined up. So, like I said, these projects they take more than sometimes 12 months to get going.
Well, and many of them don't even come to the table. I mean, Ellen's time and your time at the city, you know, you spend a lot of time talking to these companies and working with various departments on questions that they may have that don't even come to the table.
Right. And, you know? And like I said, I think these, the Growth Fund will take another look at this program in probably December and January of 2018, 2019, the start of a year from now, and say, Are we where we want to be?
Yeah.
And there are several metrics out there that look at what is your supply of food. And I think Ellen pointed out an interesting stat that there's more food being bought and consumed at restaurants now than there is at grocery stores.
That's interesting.
It's not surprising, but in the society we are in today.
Yeah.
And that's why our demand for restaurants is still well above our supply. And that's another reason that the Growth Fund looked at continuing this program, too, is to say we still aren't saturated in the market.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll move on. You had another item on your agenda last night. It was a kind of a regular thing that comes up. Your city engineer brought forth the list of new sidewalks that need to be done. And this is just, it's a regular process with city engineering to take a look at any sidewalks in the community that need to be replaced because of dangerous situation or extending sidewalks to connect with other
sidewalks. Right. This is a normal part of business for us. Mm-hmm. So the public knows that if you have sidewalk in front of your house that are cracked or they're unsafe and you need to replace them, sometimes those property owners are not able to pay for that all up front. So we do allow you to replace sidewalks through a special assessment. And in order to do that special assessment, we have to have a public bid on that project. So that's what we're going out for, public bids on the municipal sidewalk replacement project. We also use this contractor to do curb repairs and things like that around town, so we do get a competitive price on that. So it's a normal part of what we do.
Yeah.
But if you have sidewalk that needs to be replaced, you can give us a call and you can have it special assessed.
Right.
But you also have the option of hiring your own contractor and having it done yourself as long as it's meeting city specs.
Yeah. Don't just go out and have Uncle Joe chop up your sidewalk with a...
Yep. Sometimes Uncle Joe does a really good job, but we got to make sure that it's still meeting the city specs
absolutely.
And go through that.
Absolutely. So again, routine stuff, sidewalks. Do you send out notices? Have the residents or the property owners that have these sidewalks then already been notified?
Sometimes in the cases where we have gaps in sidewalk, where the property owner has not, you might have house A and house C and house B has not yet put in sidewalks. And we'll go out and notify them that, you are required to have sidewalks in front of your house. And sometimes those are the folks that get noticed.
Okay.
And if their property is, if you have a trip hazard and things like that, we will, again, notice those properties. And one of the options is you can have the work done on your own or you can have it special assessed through us.
Yeah, sounds good. Justin Froseth, your city engineer, also came forward with transportation improvement program project applications. And we've talked about this probably the last two times that we've been together. These are fairly routine processes that either the federal government or the state highway department, they have these processes for applications. So we've talked about them fairly detailed, but this is the final step that Justin has gone through of tweaking his documents, and the city commission approved that all those applications to move forward.
Last meeting in January, Justin brought in and said, okay, here are the projects we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And so that the commission has a chance to digest and talk.
Right.
And he presented, here's what his recommendations are. Please give that some consideration. Yep. And then we will make that final decision at last night's meeting. So the commission had weighed in and Justin did receive some input from commissioners on here's what I think the number one project should be and put those together. And that's what was approved. And Mayor Helbling last night indicated, he may not agree with some of these, but the wishes of the commission, that's
moving forward
with. So
one of the, we have a graphic that'll show you a little bit of the downtown area. Now this is a new program. This is the urban grant program for the state of North Dakota. Yep. The Governor Burgum has implemented this is a fairly short time frame. This would be 2019, 2020, whereas most of the projects were looking out into 2022.
Right.
This is something downtown that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Right. We, sometimes the stars align. And in this case, we had been contracted with an engineering firm to do a downtown sub-area study even before the Governor's Main Street Initiative program was started. And therefore, we were kind of right in the sweet spot as far as applications and things like that. What you may see on the screen right now, if you're watching, would be what they call a road asset reallocation, or some term similar to that.
Wow,
where you're,
sounds important.
Yeah, it sounds pretty whoop-de-doo. We're looking at on the west end of Main Street, going from, you know, 4 lanes of traffic to 3 lanes of traffic, and you can see
with a
dedicated turn lane, and also trying to green up this area in the bulb outs and create also parking on the south side of Main Street.
It slows down the bump outs, also slow down the traffic.
Slows down traffic a little bit. One of the studies as part of this downtown sub-area study showed that we have 95% of the traffic that's traveling through the west end of Main Street is going at a rate that is 10 miles over the speed limit. And sometimes roads are designed to move traffic. Main Street in Mandan was designed as 4-lane to move traffic. And no matter how much patrol or how much enforcement you put on that road, it's really designed to go, you know, whether it's 35 miles an hour. And we really want people traveling through downtown at a slower rate of speed, which is much safer. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what kind of squeezing the lanes down does. Plus, when we did the 4 lanes of traffic, when we reconstructed Main Street back in the early 90s, I believe, we lost a parking lane on the south side of Main Street. Mm. And so this kind of brings back some of that additional parking.
I don't think anybody would argue that.
Right. And it also, like I said, we've had several committees look at, we need to plant more trees, you need to green it up, green space in the downtown area is pretty vital. People like to stop and chat, and it just makes your downtown a much friendlier pedestrian environment.
It is. It definitely warms up and softens the edges around all the hardscape that you have, and it also protects people from the elements, whether it's shade in the summer and
so again, we're looking
snow
at,
and wind and all of that, so it's attractive, definitely.
We're looking at, in essence, from Collins Avenue to the west and to 6th Avenue in that in that area of town. We're not looking at making any changes right now to the east end of Main Street. And again, we've got Dykstra Park, you've got Heritage Plaza, you've got all of the events are centered in this area of town.
Right, and so there's a lot of pedestrian traffic moving across the street here.
Yep.
From parking areas and whatnot. You know, it's interesting because we're having the same, when Jason Tomanek comes in from City of Bismarck on City Current for Bismarck issues, we're having these same kind of discussions. Their Main Street is also just got final approval to move into a permanent situation with a 3-lane setup. So there's a lot of parallels here, and they're dealing with the very similar issues.
And I think, Mary, that you see a lot of communities around North Dakota. Their main streets, you know, back in the 90s were designed as 4 lanes, move traffic from point A to point B as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are changing over time. I know Jamestown is going through very similar discussions that we are right now about their 4 lanes downtown and putting that to 3 lanes too. Yeah. So I find it interesting that sometimes trends will change over time.
Right.
Even with Governor Burgum and the Main Street Initiative, this fits into initiative very well.
This would be very nice. Yeah. Well, the needs change and the mix of the occupants of these buildings change. The use changes. I mean, there was not 20 years ago, there wasn't that kind of activity in the park.
Right.
You didn't have the amenities there, and now it's generating all this traffic and different use. So obviously the traffic needs to change in some way. So
Men in Progress organization just had their 25th anniversary, and that's when Main Street was being reconstructed.
Yeah.
And, the MPO is doing, we've got Buggies and Blues, you've got the Rodeo, you've got Grill Fest, you've got Touch a Truck. You've got all kinds of events downtown now that are changing the life downtown, and it's not just point A to point B anymore. You want for those events to flourish. It's the heart of your community.
So this issue was, again, brought up during Justin Froseth's proposal on the applications. And this one could happen. This urban grant program will be decided fairly soon if it's 2019, 2020.
So if we're successful,
it'll be interesting to see.
Like I said, Justin needed to get the application in and we'll see what happens from there. But I think the earliest, I always like to say, when do the shovels go in the ground?
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of different dates that need to be met, but shovels could be in the ground if this were to be successful in 2019. Okay. So we're still a ways away.
Yeah.
But again, that would be, I think,
it's not that far when you think about all the work that has to come in the front of this. So, okay, we'll keep our eyes on that one, too. Another issue that came up to the commission that I really thought was interesting, you had an individual come up and ask for an abatement on taxes on a commercial piece of property in the downtown area. It was an interesting discussion. I think it really demonstrated, you know, the need for consistency in the assessing department and really talked, and she came up, you have a new city assessor.
Melanie is our new city assessor. And we had an individual with a piece of commercial property. And we talk about valuations and things like that. And, you know, our valuation, when you get your property tax bill or your property tax statement normally in December of a year, that valuation is really set on February 1st. So on February 1st of 2017, the value of this property was set. It goes before a city board of equalization. It goes before a county board of equalization. It goes before the state board of equalization on here are the values. And in this case, the property sold in January of 2018, which would be 1 year past the
date.
Just last month. So the property owner came in and asked for a reduction in value. And, you know, the short of it is there's a cutoff date, and that cutoff date is February 1st of 2017 for that 2017 valuation to be considered. So when the property owner brings in, hey, I just sold my property in 2018, I sold it for less than you had it valued, please reduce my value. And, you know, by state law, we look at it and go, I can't even consider that sale now because it's past that February 1st of 2017 date. But we will take that into consideration when we do our sales ratio and our valuations in 2018. So that's the year that
that
sale will be.
That can be done. But I thought it was interesting, too. The commissioners had a good discussion on this issue. I mean, the individual made a reasonable presentation. However, the commission made the point that if they do this, if they move forward on an abatement on past taxes, they would open the floodgates for any individual to come forward and ask for that same treatment. It would be very, very difficult to do that.
Pretty tough administratively and even...
And budget-wise, just budget-wise for you to be able to function and know what, you know, what revenue is coming in.
And Century Code sets that date for us. So if we're looking at your, we're looking at setting your 2017 value, there is a cutoff date, and that cutoff date is February 1st of 2017. And like I said, last night, you know, the property owner comes in, they make their case. When they asked us in December, you know, our folks went out, we make sure that all the data on that piece of property we have is accurate. And in this case, you know, they went and visited the site. Yes, we've got it, you know, the square footage is accurate. We've got the building, you know, graded accurately. All that is reflected in that 2017 value. And like I said, it's a matter of going, you know, by state law, that February 1st of 2017 is that cutoff date.
Yeah, it was an interesting discussion. And ultimately, the commission voted to keep that intact and voted to deny that request.
It's always interesting, too, because a lot of people will bring in their individual appraisal on a property and say, well, you have it appraised, assessed at this amount, and I have an appraisal at this amount. And
they don't match up all the time.
They don't always match up. Usually they're pretty close. But part of the reason is they don't match up exactly is because we have to use a mass appraisal system. We don't do a property by property. We have to set value by property, but it's a mass appraisal system that we have to use.
I thought Commissioner Labor, she had a point regarding the other political subdivisions that rely on that taxable value, that for the city to approve that kind of abatement, it would also affect the school, it would affect the park district and the county. Ultimately, all these other groups would be affected. So for them to make that decision like that, it would be another reason to deny. So,
and anytime we find, you know, whenever we change the value of a piece of property, all of the entities that levy mills at that property are affected. And you can see last night on our consent agenda, if we have an error in the property, if we have a, if we have, you know, someone comes in and says, we had your basement as fully finished. And there's an error like that that we have made. We'll go out, we can make that correction, but a correction on value where we have everything accurate. And like I said, we do a good job, I think, of going out and verifying.
stuff happens. Yep. And yeah, you do see that fairly frequently on your agendas.
Yep. We like to minimize it as much as
absolutely,
possible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If we have it as a fully finished basement and it turns
out
it's not finished, there is a process.
And a date.
Contact us and we'll come out and take a look.
Deadlines that you have to meet. Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Well, we've already gotten the signal that we only have a few minutes left here. So I'm going to kind of skip through these other things real quickly. The repeal of the appeals process. The ordinance was finalized last night. We've talked about it many times. So that the message is, excuse me, is to new developers coming in, anybody developing property, there's some new rules. Check it out.
New rules. Come in, talk to us, and we'll explain those rules to you. And like I said, the repeal, the appeal process. Now I think we can move on from that because
yes.
We've hit that about.
It's fun to say, though. Repeal the appeals process. Old Red Trail widening project right by the Endeavor new headquarters and the sports complex. Well, that widening project was approved, but that's not this summer yet.
There was a widening between where the entrance to the new Endeavor administrative building and the sports complex and Collins mm-hmm. Avenue. That's all been done. And so this was just a financing mechanism to pay for that work.
Okay.
So
move forward.
It was just to inform the board that it's completed and here's how it's going to be paid for.
All right. And the mayor, at the end of the meeting under new business, brought forward some new concepts
right.
for West Main. And I think those are really, we definitely want to get them in here. We have some visuals that we can pop up. And again, apologies to our radio listeners, but they're really showing some of the progress with the committee that's working on this West Main. Mm-hmm. Some new concepts, some new ideas. Further discussion has gone on. We've got some pictures of the elevation of the front of the building. Why don't you just walk
right.
us through these?
Where we're at, you know, when the city acquired the old, you know, we'll call it probably the old Thrifty White and old Central Market property from now until we get them changed over. We had thought about putting an event hall out on the Main Street side of this and building a new one and then trying to figure out what to do with the Central Market and Thrifty White building. Well, we've come to a point now where it seems to make more sense to take the Central Market building and kind of split it in half. And if you're watching, you can see that, you know,
would that be number three on the
number
screen
three, the,
right
the
now?
Number three, the purple building.
The big building.
That is the existing Central Market.
Okay.
The east half of that property, of that building, would be dedicated to library.
Mm-hmm.
And the west half of that building would be an event hall.
So how big would that event hall propose at this point in time? How many people do you
right
think?
Right now, if you put round tables in there, I think we're looking at 496, roughly 500
that's
people.
That's a pretty big space.
The if you're standing, and standing capacity is mm-hmm. about 1,100 people.
Sure.
And therefore, you know, like I said, we've got we've been through a lot of iterations, I think, of this property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that, you know, we want to dress up the outside of this building so it doesn't look like a grocery store. You've got four big sides.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, to hear about community space, like community bathroom spaces, because you have so many events right across the street. That's got to be an issue. I mean, obviously,
right.
they're pulling in porta potties all the
yep.
time for these events. But to have a regular space that could be open to the public, whether it's, you know, just some kind of gathering space with restroom facilities.
There's about 33,000 square feet in the old Central Market building,
yeah.
and we're trying to be efficient with the restrooms so that they
sure.
could be shared by both the event hall, if there's an event going on, and the library, so we're not having to build two sets of restrooms and taking up that space. We've got, I think, breakout rooms. We've got a pre-function area. There's enough storage where you could put a stage.
So it's kind of flexible space.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's just a prep kitchen. We're not going to have ovens and
right.
things like that,
okay.
but prep
place
kitchen.
To serve and get everything ready.
Yep.
There was a proposal. There is an idea for a new building, though. Am I correct? Is that what that multi-level building was?
That would be if
there?
We would,
yeah.
if the commission would be willing and desiring to sell a piece of property on the east side of here, where we've got developers
okay.
who would like to put up a 3 or 4 story building,
sure.
do underground parking, do main floor, or maybe second floor as
so
office
residential.
Or retail commercial space, and then do maybe two floors as residential space to add, build some density in that
nice.
Downtown area. And if we do an RFP for that property, we would require that design elements of that new building would fall in line with the exterior of the library. So you have a cohesive look on that whole block and you're not doing an ultra-modern new building. And then we're trying
to... architecture is all very complementary to what's going on in the area. That will be just wonderful.
And trying to put a lot of rail yard features into this area because what we've heard when we came it out as a rail district, rail yard district,
it's a bridge idea in there. And then certainly control of parking areas is going to be very critical to all of this. So, if, I mean, the city has this land right now, and it seems very thoughtful process that it's going through right now. Building number one is the old Thrifty
White building, and we're going to probably, we are not making plans right now for that. We want to see the Central Market Library / Event Hall take off. And then we think
how it affects that.
How it affects that, because we think that value will only increase with the addition of
and
the library.
Just the existing structure of the old grocery store is a big task.
One thing I want to point out is that the existing library, when we took a look at that floor square footage and we put it over into the new library space, we're probably picking up a couple thousand feet, but we're also adding a area for a bookmobile.
Okay.
And if we do new shelving in the new library, we probably only use half of the room that if we use the old shelving from the old library.
Very exciting.
So you'll have room for expansion in the new library area, though your square footage is comparable.
Yeah. We like having all these color pictures.
Yeah, we're...
great drawings.
We're looking forward.
And again, they're just concepts right now.
They're
going to change over time. And the idea is to... to get some of these visuals, you know, as they get tweaked, is to send them out to developers because you're looking for those private partnerships
forward. When we look, if we put out for sale and a request for proposals, the a property on the east side of here, we want to make sure that developers saying, if you do this and create an event hall space and a library over here, we will definitely build and we will buy that piece of property and go from there. So,
this is exciting to watch. So, we'll look forward
to more. A lot of complex plans coming in motion, but you know, we're sitting down with some library folks this afternoon to kind of go over the needs and
the work continues, and it'll evolve. I'm sure you'll be bringing back more colorful pictures, which we appreciate. So, thanks for being here, Jim.
Okay, thank you for having us.
We got to wrap up. So, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDEC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.